Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
And I'm Tawanda Henry Beatty. And yes, welcome to the best political podcast, best Zimbabwean political podcast. And welcome to our 1 year anniversary special, our special Congress episode.
It's been a whole year, Sha. Imagine. Longer than my longest relationship.
That's I don't know how I feel about that. But yeah, no, it's been a very, very eventful year, and ngazi rambe zvakadaro kutonga kwaro.
Malakost watotanga. Yeah, we're not even a minute into the episode and you're already showing your factionalism. Please, comrade.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who's been listening. Because if we didn't have you guys listening, I think we would have quit a long time ago. So yeah, thanks for everyone.
We'll be back at the local bar having these conversations. With a few Charles glasses. So
yeah.
It's you who make Castle great, and it's you who make Politics not great.
Speaking of Castle Lager, there was actually the Braaifest this past weekend. I missed it, obviously, but I saw some pictures and it looked like it was quite happening. This weekend Harare was quite popping. There was also Terrace Riley.
Yeah, I don't know how you pronounce it. I'm famous for pronouncing first names, mispronouncing names. So is it not Torres or Taras?
I think it's Taras Riley. Ameno Tijanzwa. But there's a tweet I saw the other day. Someone was like, I'll paraphrase. But basically, people in Harare are broke until it's time to drink.
We're very guys. They accept eco cash.
That's true, and also, so... and as far as I understand, my price anakukwira. Edoro Delta is maintaining.
Delta,
it's taking Delta care of the people.
Delta is our fair weather friend, and in fact, if Delta was a political party, I think we would not even be complaining about ZANU-PF anymore.
No. Our Delta would it would sweep.
In fact, if Delta and Econet were in my elections, it would be changed very fast in our country.
Who do you think would win?
Delta, because cheromu kereke kawanuma waini yeah.
I honestly think Econet would take it. But also, actually, no. The thing is, one will get quite upset with Econet because Econet no bira wanu mari. Delta.
Yeah, Econet will be just as an OPF pub too.
Delta actually looks after people in the good times and the bad.
Exactly. But this episode we'll just touch on some of the events that have shaped the podcast this last year, and but we'll begin by just going through a few of the highlights of the last 2 weeks, because we haven't recorded for 2 weeks because of scheduling and some guests scheduling issues. And then, of course, we'll just wrap it up quickly by letting you know what you can expect from the next year. And as we're going into phase two of BVR, we're also coming a lot closer to the election, which we both believe probably will be around March next year. So we're going to try and give you different coverage of the election analysis, as always, but also probably some more juicy, salacious things and times going on there. So Tutangra Papi, I think we can
let's go over the past 2 weeks. Who said what?
We can We can start with this weekend, because another thing that was happening this weekend was Comrade Fadzi and Shanduko United had their soccer tournament, which was another fulfillment of their manifesto goals. goals. See what I did there. But yeah, she was then arrested under arrested during the soccer tournament, or the police came to cancel the soccer tournament because ZRP has nothing better to do on Saturday afternoons than disturb peaceful gatherings of people.
Yeah, so what I've gathered from people who were there is that you know, the soccer tournament, it was well advertised for the past couple of weeks, I think, on social media. Teams signed up, they came, and these are some of them semi-professional teams. Well, I don't know if you call them semi-professional, but they play in the lower leagues. There was a prize money, $500, and the tournament was underway. Anafadzi did their due diligence. They got police clearance. They were actually police at the event from the morning. And then round about the semi-finals, apparently some ZANU-PF youth came through. They were singing, and you know, they seemed allegedly to be inebriated, and they were making a whole lot of noise and ruckus. I'm told that Pasadi had some event in Mount Pleasant as well. And then the police came through. They ordered the games to be stopped during the semi-finals, and they picked up Advocate Mahere. She was taken to Harare Central, I believe. And
so taken to Marlborough first, and
Marlborough
then Harare
first,
Central.
And then Harare Central. And then, yeah, she was released last night, and I think she will have to appear in court charged under Section 25 of POSA, Public Order and Safety Act or Security Act. One of those laws that came in around the time of Prof. Jonathan Moyo, along with AIPA. So yeah, we'll wait to, well, by the time this podcast is out, there might be a little bit more information on how far, you know, her charges go. But it's all ridiculous because they had police clearance for the event. So, but then again, where our police tends not to act in a logical manner, so this is not...
They act in a partisan manner, we should say.
Yeah, they do. But this is not... This is not. But the logic would dictate, if you've given someone police clearance for an event, then that event should, you know, be allowed to continue.
Yeah, but
which is...
And there's going to be a police officer, officer in charge at Ajado Transfer to Dotito this week because he gave clearance for it. No, well, it's true. If you remember the officer in charge of Harare Central during the stairways and those, he's now he's not even in Murewa. I'm forgetting where he's been moved to, but he's no longer. So imagine being officer in charge of in Harare Central, which essentially means you've made it. And he's been given some far, far, far away place. So they do punish them internally as well for things like this.
Yeah, quite ridiculous. I don't know how we are... Well, I don't know how it's going to turn out for Fadzi. I'm sure it's going... Well, they're doing this to frustrate her, is what I believe. Which clearly means that Pasadi, who I think is orchestrating, Honorable Pasadi, let's give him his respect, his due respect, is feeling the heat, and this is,
yeah,
you know, this is what they're doing to frustrate. But we'll see how it turns out. Other news from the weekend? Wajigajena suspension?
Wajigajena, I guess Wajigajena was suspended was, I saw it on his own Twitter. I think he was challenging the veracity of the suspension letter, but yeah, apparently he's been suspended as according to the ZANU-PF constitution.
Yeah, I was reading it just now, actually. Let me see if if I can pull it up real quick. In Midlands, that's his party, auntie. Yeah, so Force.
Yeah, so it was Wadga Jena, Chadzamira, Munyoro, and Shiri.
Yes.
The four who've been suspended.
Yeah, from Midlands and Mashingo by the party commissar, Comrade Xavier Kasukwere. Does it give the reasons why?
Yeah, it says fermenting, propagating, and inciting rebellious behavior in the party, churning out hate speech targeted at other party leaders, indulging in cheap social media gossip and lies that cause division amongst party members, uttering public statements that are grossly disrespectful of senior party leaders, making slogans to denigrate party leaders, obstructing the smooth running of party programs in Midlands province. Change Midlands province and you have a perfect description of Professor Jonathan Moyo.
It's true though. I mean,
particularly on the social media,
you know, the thing is, this could very much be applied to either side. It does it as name Kuti Lacoste G40 ZANU-PF, yes, pick a name and that person can fit that district in that description, especially Prof Moyo. But yeah, I mean, this is to be expected. Special Congress coming up indeed. Mai Mugabe did come out and say ku Mashingo neku Midlands ndiko kwakazara factionalism. So basically they're now trying to clear that out. Yeah, clean house just before the Special Congress and ensure kuti by the time they get there, they have the votes that they want, or they won't be any dissenting voices when they propagate, prop up someone and say, "Could we want Ningi to be vice president, or we want so and so to be removed?"
So we can say more factional nonsense.
Yeah, much of the same.
Same. I'm sorry if we sound tired of this, but after a year of it, guys, I can honestly say that I'm unmoved by this. As honestly as I can say to you, I think we've also fallen into, as a podcast, fallen just in terms of self-reflection, fallen into the trap of focusing overly on factionalism. I think we've given it hours and hours and hours of our time, and I think you know, most of the time, as you said, it has very little to do with Matongo and Nika or how we're going to eat. So I think we can move on quickly from Wajajena's suspension. I don't know if you agree, Chris.
Yes. Completely agree. Factionalism. I mean, it's what's there, but yeah, it's not going anywhere anytime soon, and the conversation gets monotonous. Another conversation which is getting monotonous is that of routine checkups.
Yeah. I'm glad we're on the same wavelength. It's almost like we planned this episode before. But yes, I'm reliably informed that Morgan, Dr. Morgan is back. He's a doctor.
I was about to say, huh?
No, Morgan is back in South Africa for a routine checkup. Look, I'm not... I haven't heard anything. They're very tight. They're keeping this information very tight, and I was told, Kuti, even from my sources, who can guess at Kuti, none of us are his doctors, so we can't really speculate as to his health. Personally, I just pray for the best for him in terms of his health, but. And I also, at the same time, hope for the best decision in the alliance, in the party. And I hope that decision is made sooner rather than later.
My big question is obviously they aren't going to reveal, and they've stated that he has beaten the cancer, but what routine checkups then? You know, it's I'm no doctor, and I'm not particularly knowledgeable on these things, but this is the second one. I mean, he came back about two weeks ago, and now he's gone back again. So
yeah, my best guess is that perhaps he's because I think when you beat cancer, you're in what they call remission. So mm-hmm. My best guess is that perhaps there's some complications arising from that. But like I said, it's my guess, and I would prefer to look at this from the politics side of it. And I think that whether he's healthy and he's beaten the cancer but still has to do these checkups, or he's genuinely a lot iller than he's letting on, he's not there on the ground and he's not in a position to lead. So it becomes inconsequential how healthy he is, because at the end of the day, the effect is the same. Which is why I sort of look with the moves that they've sort of made. The first meeting for the alliance, for the campaign meeting, was chaired by Wash Mnube, who sort of is taking the spokesperson portfolio. Other committees, BT's fundraising, research and policy, the Transform Zimbabwe Guys Liaison and Civil Society Committee, Kuchututu is elective committee, and Monzora is legal and electoral reform, and Agrippa Mutambara is where is he?
Which Mutambara was it who was
him? Same guy. The new presidents of ZIMPF, the co-presidents.
Yeah, because Agrippa is no longer... Well, yeah, that's another...
He's in PDP, he's also in
two PDP parts. Is in the Rainbow Coalition. Nantiyakun's the Rainbow Coalition.
There's another PDP, yeah, Gordon Moyo.
Yes, but that's the Rainbow Coalition, Yana Maimjuru.
Exactly. So there's a PDP in the MDC Alliance, and there's a PDP in the Rainbow Coalition. May I think maybe behind closed doors, what these guys have decided is, and this is to end our then just before elections, where the ones who are going to create the bridge.
I don't see Zimbabwean politicians being that altruistic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a problem. But I mean, back to the point is that the leaders have sort of split their roles of the alliance, MDC alliance leaders, and they've started working without Morgan. So perhaps there might be a position for this just to keep going. What is interesting, though, is that while someone like Morgan Komichi, who's the vice chairperson of the MDC, has a role in this alliance position, Nelson Chamisa and Mike Kupe don't. So right now it seems like the only MDCT people who are sitting here are Douglas Monzolo and Komichi. So it might really not have the full backing of the presidium, which means that if something were to happen to Tsvangirai, this might be meaningless, really, because who's going to be president of the MDC? And if that person is going to be president of the MDC, are they going to be accepted by the other leaders of the alliance?
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That's all we can do. Wait and see.
Wait and see.
But whilst we are waiting and seeing, everyone listening should go out and register to vote. I think you did mention that it's now phase two of the Blitz situation happening. I think there's a lot more centers around Harare. I've seen the Yellow Campaign has on their pages all the places you can register for their constituency. Other news that we should touch on is that AC Lumumba has basically launched his campaign for Hatfield. And he's also circulating or trying to get people in his constituency to register to vote. And there are wards there, Hatfield Waterfalls, where people can register to vote. So if you're interested, if you live in those areas, you should be going to register to vote. Registering to vote doesn't mean you're particularly voting for any candidate right now, but it's giving you the option to do so. It's very, very important. Voter apathy must not be a thing, especially amongst young people. We've spoken about this. Last election, 1.9 million people under the age of 30 did not register, and that's a big problem. So, go out and register. If you need to know where, which centers, go to the ZEC website, and you can find all the information there on which center you're in or which ward you're in, which is the closest registration point to you. This is nationwide. You can also, if you're in Bulawayo and you are going to vote in Harare, you can register there and they'll just post your registration to the ward in which you're meant to register or you're meant to vote in.
And also, if you have an Android phone, there's a BVR app actually on Android. I think it's called BVR Zimbabwe, which will actually list where all the registration centers are. I wish I knew who the developers are off the top of my head, but it's also something for you guys with Android phones. I think when I go to my iPhone, when I need data, so I think just Google it properly.
Speaking about apps as well, Parliament launched their app. Parliament of Zimbabwe launched an app, which is really cool. You can get to check out the Hansard. They have the recordings of Parliament sessions as well. They're on SoundCloud. But from the app, you can access everything, Hansard, the recordings of Parliament sessions. You can check who the parliamentarians are and that sort of thing.
And very importantly, more importantly for me personally than all of that, is that all the acts of Parliament are actually there and ready for you to download. Ipapo. So it's very, very good. Yeah, all your acts are now online. Saka, if you have a problem, I'm going through it and it seems most of them are there. I'm sure if there's something missing, you'll find. But all of them, for example, if you go under the local government, there's the Urban Area Act, the Local Authorities Act, Harare City Building Act, City of Harare Act, City of Mutare, Bulawayo, Gweru, Urban Development, Traditional Leaders, Real District Councils, everything. So you now have no excuse to not know the law. You now have no excuse if you have a cell phone, of course, and you're able to access the app. You don't have an excuse to either break the law or to have those who are in charge of you to abuse you with the law.
So yes, please get all these things. As you might have noticed, Sha, I feel so bad. Maybe we should plug this in at the beginning. But Opinion's not with us here today. I feel very bad that now that we're talking about Parliament.
No, she's obviously dearly missed, and I think I was going to talk about it when we got to our highlights of the last year. To be fair, which I think we're almost there.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I didn't even know how to explain her absence. There is no power. Well, there's no Zesa in the area, and so she couldn't Skype in. That's basically it.
There's nothing. There's actually it's not going to.
That's just it. Yeah, and these are some of the problems that we face as a podcast. Is some things are out of your control like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's what's happening in the past the couple last, of weeks.
Oh, I mean, of course, let's not forget some key highlights. The shortest living goodwill ambassador for the WHO, our president Gabriel Mugabe, was given then taken away.
That happened. I don't know what you're talking about. The news I read stated that it was not even offered. So how do you rescind something that you do not offer?
Are you reading the Herald?
what is
spokesperson's playbook? What is the poorest form of spin In the history of spin, I actually wanted to talk to you about that. Surely,
what other news media would I be reading if not the Herald, my friend?
So why were you? So if we're talking about the Herald on the Monday, they announced a new feather in Mugabe's cap. So
I missed that one. I was traveling.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, that happened. There was a whole social media furor about it. People have time, and people thought that somehow social media won a victory. And you know, look, where I was very happy about it, and it was exciting and whatnot. But it's not really anything to be proud of. At the end of the day, our hospitals are still in a poor condition, and whether he's Goodwill Ambassador or not, it really doesn't make a difference, in my opinion. Come on.
No. I completely agree. I mean, it makes no sense. That was quite ridiculous from the WHO. They clearly didn't do any homework. They don't know what's going on. I'm quite interested to find out how they, you know, went about their business. And that weekend, I was actually at a evening event in London, and everyone was asking me about it, about this whole WHO thing. It's quite, you know, everywhere you go, people always ask you about Mugabe, and the first thing they say is, how is he? In the beginning, I said he was in high spirits because he's now a Goodwill Ambassador, and then the next day, and I was like, well...
It's not so much.
here we go. So we've got some news from Upenyu. Going back to Parliament quickly. Parliamentarians are on strike.
Over unpaid allowances.
Yes. So that's why. So before we started this episode, we're actually doing a bit of research, and we went to Hansard to see if we could pick up anything from there, because we wanted to, you know, give you the quotes that Upen usually does. And the last one that's there was on the 19th, I think, of October. So I remember there was something about iPads as well, and them complaining about not receiving the iPads they were supposed to receive. So that's what's happening in Parliament.
I'm actually on the 20th, MTs on strike over unpaid allowances. I remember, actually, you know, this is obviously, like, we've had a lot of stuff going on. This was on the back of my mind, and I remember this, the conversation, and people thinking it was ridiculous, but I'm of a different opinion. These guys are owed like over $20 million or $15 million in unpaid allowances. And as much as it seems ridiculous, people have this, sometimes this a majority of the parliamentarians.
Just hold on.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to see if I can get Upenyu on speakerphone.
She might not be
able to hear you though, which is a bit. Yeah, I don't know how to get past that. But just so that she can give us her update on this.
Do you want to then rewind to like the last 5 minutes, and just as soon as you say Upenyu's got something about parliamentarian, just stop?
I think we can just continue from here. Upenyu, hi.
Hi, I can hear you now.
I don't know. Okay, so we'll literally have you on speakerphone, and you're just going to see if it works, if I put it close to the mic and you can... just update the people on this strikes issue that you are so passionate about.
Okay, well, basically, the Zimbabwe Parliament is striking over unpaid allowances. I don't have the details. I know that they get paid a $75 sitting allowance, and then they have other entitlements like some foolish functionary promised them tablets.
And, yeah, iPads.
They're supposed to get cars, I think. So they haven't received any of these things, and so they've been striking since the last time they sat was the 19th of October.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, in essence, the business of Parliament has stopped because the legislators have gone on strike. And I'm not saying that they don't have a right to those things, but who's left now to guard the people? Who's in charge over there? Because it seems to me that, you know, the thieves are left. So I make a bit like this.
Well, let me make an argument for their case. When ex-finance minister Patrick Chidamasa was there, the chiefs asked for, they were promised cars or they requested cars. I don't know how it goes. And he said there was no money for it. Now we have a new finance minister and these 226 cars that were for the chiefs have started to be rolled out. So, I mean, I get... So, for example, if these guys, parliamentarians, have been promised iPads or tablets or whatever it is, it must cost a lot less than 226 cars.
Thank you.
So if the argument there, I mean, I'm not saying that they should strike, but if they are not getting their iPads, but others are getting their cars, you know, where it's one of those things where you can't, or the government shouldn't argue that there's no money for us to buy you iPads if they have money to buy the other guy's cars. Although this is all, you know, very material and it takes away from the issue of the day, but there are cases to be made, I suppose, on their part.
There's definitely a case to be made, yes. But for me, it speaks to the fact that every arm of our government, in fact, answers to the executive, and the executive, in fact, answers to ZANU-PF, which is a problem, because the principle of separation of powers, right? In theory, you have the legislature, the judiciary, and then the executive, and each one of them is supposed to have its own power, so that the legislature can have authority and can hold the executive accountable. If the executive has promised the legislature, we are going to give you X, Y, Z, and the legislature's only resort is to strike, as in to deny service, as in I'm not going to show up to do my job, which is to represent the people of Zimbabwe and hold the executive accountable because the executive has not given the legislature XYZ. For me, that's a problem. That means that there is no separation of power. And in fact, all power is vested in the executive. Therefore, is it vested in ZANU-PF? So,
do you know?
What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know. Do you know?
Just a one-party state, or politburo, whatever it is, do away with parliament and do away with elections, because it seems to me like elections those rungoch kamai.
Okay. Upen, you yeah, because Henry can't hear you, and because I can't play relay man. Thank you for your comments.
No, before she goes, you can.
Yeah. Okay. I'll relay back to her. Yeah.
You know what? You know the people who are really stupid is the opposition parliamentarians. Because let ZANU strike, you go in there in 31 Renuka and force them back in that house by declaring we're going to vote on no confidence in the president's government, Mangwana.
But you need a quorum, how fast they can.
Yeah, but my point is they're not doing anything. How as opposition do you want to expect to win the next election when you're not even empathetic with the people of Zimbabwe? We understand Kuti parliamentarians don't have any money. We understand you guys have suffered. But shouldn't you say, hey guys, as Zimbabweans, we are all in the same boat. People aren't stopping going to their work at their jobs because they haven't been paid in months. So how can we as parliamentarians not lead by example? We'll keep doing our jobs because those we don't want me one. But no, they want to be following ZANU-PF. You know.
Fair enough, Upenyu. So to sum up what Henry says, is that the opposition are failing. They should be the ones to actually go back into parliament and empathize with the people of Zimbabwe, who are also not receiving their wages, and also force ZANU-PF back into parliament. But now they are siding with ZANU-PF almost, and that doesn't help their cause.
You know, you're never going to get an argument from me when you start with the opposition. Yes, underline, and please highlight and put in red. Because, okay, Ndapererwa, I'm actually pissed. I'm so mad that, you know, really though, really? This is where we are as a country. You know what? Let's petition government to declare it a one-party state. let's just do away with all of this. Let's just finish it.
Heso. Let's go register to vote. I hope you've registered, Upenyu. I haven't seen your slip.
No, not yet. I'm working on a project, so I'm saving my registration for that project.
Ah, fair enough. All's good. It was good to have you here. We hope next week there'll be electricity.
You see what I'm suffering from?
Problems in real life. Let's save your battery, car. We don't want to...
Who is she called? Because it happy. I really understand what's in a soccer tournament.
Yeah, no. So yeah, you've heard from Upenyu on the parliamentarians issue. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add, Henry, before we move on. I think we should move on.
No. Let's move on. That's plenty. I don't know. You want to? I mean, my time says we're coming to the end of a podcast in terms of our time. I don't know if yours is the same.
Yeah, I mean, we're a good time in, but just now to sort of just go through some of the highlights of the past gore. This podcast has it's evolved, it's changed. When it started, it was a couple of us, it was myself and Henry just ranting and raving about some of the things, as he said, we used to sit and talk about in a bar. And we wanted to get the conversation or expand the conversation to a lot more Zimbabweans, young Zimbabweans like ourselves, who we felt were not engaged in political conversation. And also to update people who don't read the Herald or the Daily News or any of the other papers, what's actually happening. And then, you know, through Access, we got people to come through and share their thoughts, and we did quite a few interviews, which some of them were really good. I thought some quite entertaining. And yeah, we brought on Upenyu, and she's been wonderful. She's been absolutely fantastic and great, giving different perspective. We've had other people who've, you know, come through, Nomaliso Tariro as well, who've been on a couple of times, and they've contributed and shared their thoughts, and we appreciate all of those perspectives. I don't know if there's anything else I left out from when it started to where it is now.
I think there's you pretty much covered it. Maybe you can give us we can go one for one quick in one sentence or less, top three and highlights and top three lowlights, if there are any. If I put you on the spot, and then we can keep going.
Top three highlights. Okay, I'll say my three favorite episodes that we recorded was probably the AC Lumumba one. The Temba Mliswa one. I enjoyed that. And then I'm not sure between the second Kosana Moyo one and the Tendai Biti one, but those were quite enjoyable as well. I mean, the second Kosana Moyo one was when I called him naive, and that...
Yeah, I remember that.
The thing is, it makes me so upset that he just still, to this day, does not get it. He does not get it. Yeah, I mean, guy, get out there. Ipan my shit, can.
Ask Uda, Hans, I simply don't have the money for it, so stop talking about it. Wow. That's what he said.
Wow. You raise money, guy. What does he think this is?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think my favorite was Temba. It was the independent candidate episode with Temba Mliswa. I also, you know, to be fair, I liked our first episode with Upenyu. I think that was fun.
Yes, that was a good episode. That was a very good episode, actually.
And then for me, its standout was with Comrade Nick Mangwana.
you guys went back and forth over the diaspora vote.
Yeah, I don't know. He that was a good the AC one for me was actually a low light because I think we went so easy on him, to be fair.
Really?
Yeah, I think we were, I personally was a bit easy on him. I think we allowed him to lie to us, or to lie on the podcast.
What did he lie
And
about?
I don't think since I want to say
No,
somebody, I think he
no.
lied about his name. but I think from no, but I think we he gave a few points on the economic points, and we allowed him to speak like he knew what he was talking about. But if you actually go back and listen, they're very superficial and very stupid, silly points,
Fair
very
enough,
stupid
fair enough,
sentences,
fair enough.
and something that even my sister can tell you wouldn't work, and she's 17.
Wow, okay. Fair enough. Maybe we should get him back on now that he's a candidate
Yeah,
or a
I think he might.
candidate in waiting. Yeah, he would. Of course he does.
Yeah.
Low lights for me. I mean, one of the things that I it's the event, so the things that have been precipitated by events, so the fact that we are in different places and we can't be as regular, or we can't, the consistency. I haven't liked not having that consistency. And also not getting some of the people that we would have wanted to interview. And of course, time changes. I mean, time affects events, so psychology was one, and because of time, now it's at less relevant than the time he was making all those comments. But at that time, landing him for that interview was a bit of a
Would have
challenge.
been fun.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so it you know, so I think just some of these things, but it's life, it happens. And I don't know, what are the
I think you had a very tough episode with Bisan and Dentelio.
Yeah, that oh yes, yeah. That one was a bit yeah, I didn't quite enjoy that episode. That one was a bit difficult because we had four people on, all very highly opinionated, and trying to keep the
Bully their
conversation.
ways.
Yeah, trying to keep the conversation, or to moderate it in such a way that it was productive was, yeah, that was stressful.
Yeah, but
But
at least you didn't have a Rui episode yet, so you're fine.
wow, it's not diff it's not easy. I mean, it's quite difficult doing this job that we have to do.
But as an oh, you're a trained journalist, I think you can say that it's not as difficult as some people would want you to believe.
no, it's quite difficult. It's quite difficult. I mean, it depends. Certain it depends. It depends. There are a lot of factors that also.
Journalists and lawyers, journalists are becoming like lawyers, where they want to make you seem that they're professionals or some sort of magical things, whereas if you study enough and you're dedicated, anyone can really do it.
My
Not saying
friend,
everyone is good at it.
yeah, that's what I was saying. It's not just about knowing what it is. It's there's also personality traits that come into it as well, I think. The Patson episode, that was also quite an interesting one, the Zamara one.
Yeah, Patson lied to us as well, girl. Patson said, and I wish I had this ready. I played the video on the voice on the group. Patson said to us that he had a PhD from an Indian university.
Yeah,
Turns out he doesn't have a PhD at all.
of
And
course
he at
not.
that and he already knew it. And we also knew it, but Takangumnyara.
No, I okay. I no, I asked him. I really was interested. I didn't know where it was from or what it was about. So,
Yeah, so now he's come out and said he doesn't have a PhD. So I mean,
yeah, sure.
he said he got it from Memorial Uni. What is was it? Some Memorial University or Calgary University in Zimbabwe. And I'm like, blood, even then you'd know Calgary wasn't the real university. And then he said it got cancelled because the Calgary was no longer recognized as an institution. So he's been calling himself Dr. Patson for years while knowing that full well that he doesn't have a PhD.
Wow.
So yeah, we've been lied to a lot, guys.
We have actually. We need to do a PhD busting episode, a proper one. Actually, just go around and discover.
Can we also do professorships? Because people need to also realize there's something fishy there. There's something fishy.
Shame. I don't even know who you're talking about. But I'll leave it at that. Actually, you know what? Let me email Professor Jonathan Moyer and ask him if he'd like to come onto our podcast. Then I remembered that he screenshots people and puts you on blast. So I don't think I'm going to email him anytime soon.
I remember that when Fadzi was like, I'll send you the questions beforehand.
Sure.
Fadzi as well.
She's gone through the motions. She's come a long way.
She has. She's a candidate, because when a politician lies to you, it feels right. But when an activist lies to you,
she's also had about an interesting year. One of our first episodes was.
It was about her.
Yeah, it was.
It was actually the first episode was the
activist one. Yes, indeed, it was. It was. Yeah, our first episode was. Yeah, that means. She was when she had been arrested. What else? What other interesting things have been happening on politics and beyond? We've actually
the group. I think for me, a highlight was the formation of the group.
Yeah, the group chat has been quite interesting. It's taken on a life of its own. It's also it started off quite all right, and then we had funny characters. Remember Mkoma Masimba?
We should bring him on for a day just to
the highlight for me with Mkoma Masimba was when he said, so this is a guy who came into the group and he really disrupted things and we chucked him out. And then he messaged me privately and he says, I'm sorry for, you know, disrespecting the rules of the group, blah, blah, blah. This isn't the first group that I've been thrown out of.
But you know,
and that for me was, you know, like,
it was like, what kind of, and this is a grown man, eh?
Yes, this is actually some of you might know Mkoma Masimba if you listen to ZFM, which it was it the Philip Chiangwa one? So Philip Chiangwa was on, I don't know if it was, I think it was Ruvenico's show, and Mkoma Masimba called from Australia about Zifa. And I can't remember what exactly it was he said.
Oh, yes, I remember that story.
Yes, so that's the same guy who came into our group.
Yeah, that's incredible. But yeah, no, I salute to everyone on the group. fun times. Including all the C10s.
We've had a couple of there. C10s that we've thrown out as well because they didn't just got... A bit annoying. Hansi, there's still rather, some that are there.
The one guy who said I would rather, we should kill all MDC supporters. I was like, blood.
Yeah, no. I don't understand some people.
Yeah, okay. But thank you to all the listeners and a big shout out to Capital 263, Onai, and especially Onai.
Yeah, we should have started with that actually. Without him. And without the Capital 263 and 263 chat for hosting us for as long as they did, we might have gone a different direction.
Yes, we might have ended up on Capitalk FM, and that would have been terrible because it would have been censored.
What? You will imagine you won't get to a censor. You, Matikari,
would have been kicked off, would have been fired, good data.
I mean, I work for the state-owned newspaper, so I'm pliant to these things.
My taxes pay your salary, blood.
Actually, they do not, because we are publicly listed. We eat what we kill.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We actually paid dividends to the government.
To to the government. So you actually pay salaries.
We do. We pay dividends, ka?
Yeah, I don't know. No, but yeah, I used to, but yeah, and what was I gonna say? Yeah, I think that's everyone. So Nige, of course, at 263 chat, and
yeah, all our guests who've come on, everyone who's supported in any way possible, all the people who encourage us to record, actually. Sometimes you actually just think, you know, you get down, you've got so much to do, you're quite busy, and then people are, where's the next episode? And that's, it's quite encouraging to know that we actually have people who really like to listen. Going forward, we are going to try, okay, now we're at 51 minutes, which is well over where we want to be. We want to try to bring it down back to 40 minutes. We're also going to try be segmented, and sort of have themes for the week, because we're trying to steer away from this talking about factionalism and
being super reactionary
and, people and that sort of thing. So we're going to try be a bit more thematic, based of course on events that are happening, and
I think you guys will appreciate if we focus more on a particular topic, as opposed to try and give you a roughshod highlights of whatever is going on during the week. So I think we'll probably try and get more in-depth information and themes and in our segments, as opposed to he said, she said, Lacoste said, and G40 said type of analysis.
Yes, and any other suggestions, please do hit us up. We are quite open to those. And from my side, that's about it. I don't know. Anything else, Henry?
Follow us on Twitter, at PolyBeyondZW on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And also on our Facebook as well, like the Facebook page. And I think that's it really for me. You can find me on my Twitter handle, which is at Henry Beattie. That's it for me.
Yeah, you can listening. Find me at Chris Charamba or social media. I'll speak for Upenyu in her absence. She's at Upenyu Makoni on Twitter, I believe, on Facebook as well. And yes, like, follow, share. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263.
Free to say it.
Free to do it.
Bye. And now. Capital 263.